The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Will all Christians reign with Christ for 1,000 years? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us for today's episode. I think it's going to be an interesting one. We're taking questions from listeners all over the world, and I look forward to hearing what these questions are when they come in. So you can reach us, by the way, by sending to radio@faithalone.org through email. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's jump right to our discussion today with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. And here is a question from Karen. Karen says, I read your blog on Luke 12, verses 47 to 48, but I have a question about verse 46. When I read it, it almost looks as if the servant or the believer who wasn't watching for Jesus' return and was living as the unbelievers will not get raptured. Can you give me your view on this? I had always thought that all believers would be raptured before the tribulation, and now reading this verse makes me wonder whether or not that is true. Let me read Luke 12, 46, 47, 48. The master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him with his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask for more. So this must have been a blog written by you, Bob, because there's no way I would touch this.
It could be. I don't remember writing a blog on this. This is parallel to Matthew 24, 45 to 51, and this is talking about a servant who is doing well, and the verse before where you started says, but my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and be drunk.
Right.
That's parallel to the faithful and unfaithful servant in Matthew 24, 45 to 51. Well, notice what you have here. You have a translation problem.
Okay.
It's at the end of verse 46, and this is what's tripping up Karen.
Okay.
I mean, what in verse 46 would make her think that this believer is not raptured?
Well, why would you think that this is the rapture? Because the master's coming at a day and an hour when he's not aware. So it's kind of the imminency of the rapture,
right?
I guess, if you take the view that the rapture is in the Gospels. And then, I guess, instead of being raptured, you get cut in two and get appointed with the unbelievers. That's a weird thing.
So the weird thing is not just the cutting in two. The weird thing is the words, the unbelievers.
Yeah.
Why would a believer be put with unbelievers?
Yeah.
Karen is giving this the spin that somehow this person is not raptured. So the unbelievers stay on earth.
Right.
And this person stays on earth.
I see. So they're left behind with
to
the
go
unbelievers.
Through the
if this is the rapture, then they're left behind, it seems. Okay.
However, a more normal understanding of this passage from a dispensational standpoint, a pre-trib rapture standpoint, is that when the Lord returns, he finds this person as an unbeliever. He's acting unfaithfully.
Yeah.
And so this looks at the great white throne judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ.
Oh.
And this person is cast into the lake of fire with the other unbelievers.
So you're saying that this is a great white throne passage?
I'm not, but I'm
saying
that's a normal.
View. Okay, that's
my view. Is that there's a translation problem with the words the unbelievers.
Okay.
The Greek is ton apiston. Ton apiston in my Hodges-Farstad interlinear, underneath ton apiston, it says the unfaithful.
So this is from the word for faith, or it could mean faithfulness.
This is apistos,
and so
unfaithful.
The A negates
it. And so basically it could be translated unbelievers, but I would say unfaithful is better. And when you compare this to the parallel passage in Matthew 24, it says the hypocrites.
Okay.
Well, a hypocrite is one who acts in a way contrary to what he believes and preaches.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
That would be a believer who was doing well for a time and then began to beat his fellow servants and began to drink with the drunkards.
Right.
And so what this is talking about, in my opinion, is the judgment seat of Christ Karen's right. The rapture has to be in here somewhere, but it's not stated. There's nothing here about the rapture. All he's saying is the Lord comes back and judges this guy. Obviously, we know from a pre-trib perspective that the rapture has to occur, the tribulation has to occur, then the judgment seat of Christ, or some would say the judgment seat of Christ occurs during the tribulation. Yeah. But at the judgment seat of Christ, this person would experience a verbal tongue lashing. That's what this cutting in two is
okay,
about.
Okay, well, yeah, so the language here is really, I mean, it's pretty harsh, right? It's beating, getting stripes. I guess you're getting whipped so that you have stripes on your back. And then you have the cutting in two of verse 46. But I'm looking at the beating and the stripes of 47 and 48. But you're saying this is just a figure for something verbal.
Right. Okay, when we're going to 47 and 48, it seems to me we're expanding a little bit.
Okay.
Because 46, we're dealing with one servant who falls away at some point because the Lord delays his coming. He takes his eyes off the Lord's soon return.
Yeah.
And his portion is with the unfaithful.
Yeah.
So he's not going to rule with Christ. But it says, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. I think this is application or extension of what's just been said, but it's not exactly the same servant.
Okay.
We're now saying, what about someone who knows what he's supposed to do and doesn't do it? Well, he's going to be judged for that. Now, it doesn't say his place is appointed with the unfaithful.
Right.
So this could be true of any of us, right? If I, as a believer, know what the Word of God tells me to do, I'm not looking here at some inner witness that says, park in that parking space.
Yeah.
And I parked somewhere else and that was sin.
Right.
No. The point is, this is talking about someone who knows from the Word of God that, let's say, for example, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church, and I don't do that, I'm going to reap the consequences. I'm to provide for my family.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I just drink all day, and my kids and my wife suffer.
Right.
I know what I'm supposed to do. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have many stripes. But, and this is what's interesting here, he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. Isn't that interesting?
So it's kind of like ignorance is an excuse.
You're still judged, but less.
You're right.
And notice how it ends. I love this one. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, to him they will ask the more. I've always felt the fact that I went to Dallas Seminary during its golden age, and I sat under Zane Hodges at his prime when he was at the best of his teaching. And then after I graduated, Zane Hodges continued to mentor me and disciple me.
Yeah.
I feel like, and all the other people who've had a wonderful influence in my life, mm-hmm. I've been given much. And so more is going to be required of me than someone who's come to faith off in rural India and had no formal Bible training, is in a small village church. Less is going to be expected of them because they know less.
Yeah.
But we're accountable, and I would suggest everybody in America has the opportunity to know well. And even though I don't agree with a lot of stuff in the commentaries, we have a wonderful amount of commentary literature.
You're saying the Word of God is readily available to anyone with an internet connection who's willing to search for it. I mean, there's tons of information. I actually heard Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla and all those things.
The great Bible teacher.
Well, no, but he said the problem today is not lack of education, he says, because anyone who's motivated can get a free education in whatever subject they want because it's all available online. The problem today is not resources, it's motivation. You can learn to be a computer programmer without ever having to go to school because it's all available online. And I think the same is true for Bible. You don't have to go to seminary to learn Greek or Hebrew. It's all online for free. Yep. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on commentaries. Don't tell that to my wife. Because they're all available for free online. Well, not all of them. But a lot of them. So it's really a question of motivation, you're saying.
Right.
And so we're responsible. So we have all of this, so much available to become equipped in the Word of God and to serve God even more powerfully than someone who's maybe gets only a rudimentary education.
Right. And it would be wrong to say, you know what, I don't want to get the many stripes, so I'm just not going to learn. Well, you're still going to get stripes.
Yeah. And what are the stripes, by the way?
Well, I take it the stripes are verbal rebuke at the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
And I think that's the same thing as the cut in two. Nobody's going to be cut in two at either the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. This, although, refers to the judgment seat of Christ. But it's a great passage, and I appreciate Karen bringing it up.
All right, Karen, I hope we got there. Somewhere in there is the answer to your question. Okay, here's one from Austin. And Austin was able to leave a Lordship Salvation Church. And he has a question about Revelation 26. He says, doesn't Revelation 26 make clear that all saved people reign for 1,000 years? And we only have a short amount of time, so not the best question.
I can give you a quick answer. No. And the reason why is this. It's Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Yeah, the key here is those who has a part in the first resurrection. And I take it that is an allusion to the overcomer.
And it's not just he who is resurrected, but he who has a part in the first resurrection?
Right.
There's a difference there? Okay.
And when he says he will not be hurt over them, the second death has no power, I take it that is understatement. And I take it that what he's saying is, instead of that, they're going to be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. So the ones that reign are the overcomers.
All right. So
those are the ones who have the part. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me?
Yeah.
Same Greek word.
All right, interesting.
And that was a fellowship term.
So it's a fellowship term. Okay, very interesting. So there's a nuance there that you can miss. It's not just about being raised at all. It's about having a part of the first resurrection and about having, what is it, power?
Yes.
Over such, the second death has no power. And that's being an understatement, like, wow, not only will it not have no power, but they're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
These people are going to be have the power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords surging through them as they rule with him.
Interesting, interesting. We need a detailed commentary on Revelation, I think. All right, thanks for the question, Austin, and thanks for the question, Karen. And keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about Jesus' evangelism style, so join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.